N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back. This is episode 538 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, and I didn't think I'd be here this evening talking to you guys on NYYST. We were originally scheduled for a live Bronx or Nowhere show over on NYYU, but unfortunately, life kind of got in the way, and we had to postpone that show. And I said, hey, you know what? It's time for a pop-up NYYST episode, which is why I told you guys in the last episode to make sure that you are subscribed on the very podcast platform that you're listening to me on right now so you don't miss any new shows over the course of the final season of NYYST. There's only six scheduled shows left, and then bang, here we go. We had a chance to do an impromptu show that wasn't on the calendar originally, and we're going to do it because it's all about having a little bit of fun here in the final season. Even if the Yankees don't want to get to their ultimate goal, we're going to still do our best to entertain you and give you the best Yankee talk and coverage as we've done for the last 10 years here, and maybe on the next episode, which is going to be August 2nd, the day before the trade deadline. There will be no pop-up episodes between now and then. I can promise you that because I will not be here. I'm going on vacation, leaving Saturday morning. Maybe it'll be a little surprise for everybody. I can't promise anything. It's beyond my control, but conversations are being had, and hopefully the stretch run here for NYYST is going to be a memorable one. Now the Yankees are having an off day here after they just had a 3-3 homestand. Not great, but better than they had played. They were 1-9 over the course of their previous 10 games before they won the three of their last four, which is really shocking when you think about it, that the New York Yankees are generally built for that ballpark. They're built to hit home runs, and they lost 9 out of 10 home games, which is pretty amazing to think about that they did that, and it really hasn't sunk them, because with the Tampa Bay Rays loss earlier on Thursday, the Yankees are just two games out of first place. Now, I know we all got to sit here and worry about the Boston Red Sox, who lost the second game of their doubleheader on Wednesday evening, which snapped a 15, yes, you heard that correctly, a 15-game winning streak. So the Red Sox are right there now. The Red Sox, who thought they might have been sellers and probably were sellers up until 2 weeks ago at the trade deadline here, are now right in the thick of things here. They're four games behind the Yankees for second place in the American League, and they hold the third wild card. They're 52-49. The Cleveland Guardians are 54-50. You know, I like to look at the loss column, but by percentage points, Cleveland holds the second spot. And Boston's three up on Seattle for that third spot. So they're in a nice spot here where, hey, you know what? They played really well. They got incredibly hot, and they're back in the mix of things. Now we're hearing that they're going to be buyers at the deadline. And Zach Neto of the Angels could be somebody that is in play for the Red Sox. And he's a great hitter. is not so much a great defender, so I don't know how much the Yankees should be in on Neto themselves. The Yankees have an internal option to solve the shortstop problem that they currently have, and his name is George Lombard. Now, Scranton gave everybody a little bit of a rise earlier today when we saw that Lombard wasn't in the lineup. And were we on Lombard watch? Well, then a couple of beat guys came out and said that it was just a planned day off for Lombard, so not yet, because there was a lot, for whatever reason, all day Thursday, there was a lot of smoke around George Lombard being called up and being with the Yankees in Philadelphia on Friday. Now, I'm not saying that still can't happen, but I never thought that he would be here this weekend. I think we are very close to seeing George Lombard play shortstop for the New York Yankees. And I think that's going to be part of what happens next week, or, you know, a week and a half here, whatever it is, after the trade deadline. The Yankees are going to make their play for whoever they're going to make their play for. And on, because they're playing August 2nd at home, it wouldn't surprise me if that's the day that George Lombard is in the lineup for the Yankees. It really wouldn't. Now, you have to sit there and look and say to yourself, what are the Yankees going to do to create that roster spot? Well, I think, by the way, Aaron Boone has been making lineups over the past couple days here, really in the last week since the Yankees have returned from the All-Star break, you sent down Anthony Volpe. It's no more about hurt feelings and what was supposed to be. It's about trying to win baseball games, because the Yankees are struggling to score runs here. We saw it against the Los Angeles Dodgers, where the Yankees pitching really shut down the Dodgers for three games in that series. Okay. If you take away game one Sunday, when things kind of got away from the Yankees with Bird and Duvall in the game, their pitching staff did an excellent job holding down the Dodgers. And the Yankees should have won on Friday. They did win Sunday night. So you look at it and you say to yourself, the Yankees' problem here is they cannot score runs. And we saw that again on Wednesday in the doubleheader. You know, Gerrit Cole shouldn't have been on the hook for a loss, even though he gave up that second home run. He gives up three runs over seven, 11 strikeouts, one of his better outings this year, no doubt about it. And he was on the hook for a loss until Ben Rice hit that clutch three-run home run in the seventh inning. Then we see last night, you got Max Fried back. The bullpen after Max Fried, which we'll get to all this in a little bit, really, the B team bullpen here was holding down Pittsburgh, who is not your typical Pittsburgh team. This team can score some runs, held them down, and they were able to scratch two runs out in the seventh inning. That's how they win the baseball game. So, I mean, we're looking at a Yankee team here that has incredible pitching. I think overall the Yankees have the best ERA, at least in the American League, if not in all of baseball, and their bullpen ERA is second. But without Aaron Judge and without Giancarlo Stanton, they cannot score runs. So that's why at the trade deadline, we all want Mason Miller, and if he's available, you have to go get him. You have to go for the throat. You have to be a killer at this deadline. If it means giving up things that you don't want to give up, it doesn't matter. Miller's got three more years of control here. So you do what you have to do to go get him, especially that you chased him last year. It doesn't matter. Seattle's in the same boat as you are, and they might want him, and they have the same type of assets to give up that you do. You give him the better offer. It's that simple. You go get Mason Miller. You make David Bednar a setup guy, which is phenomenal. Go find me a bullpen that's got a better 8-9 than Bednar Miller. You wouldn't. So you shorten games that way. You make it even harder for the opposition to score runs. And then you go out there and you go get a bat. I still believe that we're going to see Aaron Judge this year. Probably won't be until September, but we'll see him. Aaron Boone's been doing a do-si-do with the reporters of when exactly Stanton's coming back. But I tell people, you're not going to hear anything about Stanton. He's just going to be in a lineup one day. And he'll probably be back this year. I'm a little bit less confident about that than I am with Judge. But I think we'll see Giancarlo Stanton this year. So then you're adding Stanton and Judge. You still need another bat. Catching situation's been atrocious. And the left side of your infield has been pretty abysmal as well. Although we give Ryan McMahon a lot of credit for being a representative at bat lately over, you know, the last 30 games or so here, where he hasn't been an automatic out. He's had some good at bats. I've talked about it, that final game in Tampa, probably had the biggest at bat of the season so far, really getting that rally jump started for them to win that game when they desperately needed to walk away with a split there in Tampa. But overall, if you could improve offensively from Ryan McMahon, you would look to do it. And obviously, the Caballero-Volpe situation at short is not one that you really feel that confident in October. So you would like to improve there. And I think an area where the Yankees are going to look to improve and not spend prospects is bringing one of their own up in George Lombard. And I think by August 2nd, you will see George Lombard in a Yankee uniform. And he will be patrolling shortstop for the New York Yankees. And the thing about Lombard is that it just doesn't have to be short. George Lombard can also play a little third base. So if the Yankees want to move him around there a little bit, I'm sorry. The Yankees are in Chicago against the Cubs August 2nd, and then it's August 3rd, home to start a homestand against the Cardinals. The deadline's at 6 o'clock. They play at 7:05. So could we see Lombard August 3rd against the Cardinals? Yes. I think that's kind of my line for George Lombard and where I think that we're going to see him. I think the Yankees are going to make all their moves. I think they're not going to call him up until they know for sure whatever it is that they're pressing for. They don't have to give him up. If it's Miller or Goodman, if the teams like the Rockies or the Padres are really holding steadfast, we need Lombard. So that's why I don't think that you're going to see him beforehand. I also don't think the Yankees are ultimately going to trade him. But maybe it gets to a point where the Yankees feel super desperate for getting a guy like Goodman or getting a Mason Miller that they do put Lombard in the deal. That's why I don't think you'll see him until after the trade deadline. But if George Lombard is still in the Yankee organization after the trade deadline ends on August 3rd, he'll be the starting shortstop or potentially the starting third baseman. But I do believe that George Lombard will be here after the trade deadline is over. And that is one of the, quote, bats that the Yankees are going to acquire by bringing up George Lombard. And I agree with that 100%. This kid has shown the ability to hit every level that he's gone up in. It's something that's taken him a little bit of time. He struggled at the beginning in double A, and then he's come on, and then he came on at the end of the year and hit really well. The same thing this year. He got promoted to triple A, struggled, got hurt. Now he's been back. He's been tearing the cover off the ball. Takes him a little bit of an adjustment point. That's why you got to do this not now per se, but in the beginning of August. This way you give him his run, you give him a chance to get his feet wet here, and then in September and October, he feels more comfortable, and we'll see a George Lombard that hopefully, you know, hits to like an 800 OPS, which is what he's been doing recently. And Brian Cashman has told you already, speed, defense, he's major league ready. Those two tools are already major league ready. So you have that there, and you're just going to wait for the hit tool to come. That's why I think August 3rd is kind of like the line of demarcation there for me for George Lombard. If you call him up in September when you get two extra roster spots, I don't think that does anything because you would need 30 to 60 games. You need that window there to have them really peaking for October, where, you know, you've already gotten past the trade deadline here, and the Yankees making a statement by not calling him up at that point, saying that we really don't think either A, he's ready, or we need him, which I think both of those things are incorrect. So that's why I think August 3rd is kind of the day for George Lombard. And then you look out there, and the Yankees need a catcher. There's no doubt about this. The Yankees need a catcher. Whatever the hell is going on with Austin Wells, enough. You can't play Austin Wells back there after August 3rd. It just can't be a thing anymore. Do I like Austin Wells on this team? Yes, I think Austin Wells is a really good defensive catcher. I think the pitchers like throwing to him, and I think he serves a role here now as the backup to whoever you bring in here. And that's going to be a little bit of an issue. Maybe it won't be. It could potentially be, but we'll see. Bringing in a catcher, especially with 60 games left here, or how it was 60 games left now, but, you know, with 50 games left or whatever, is getting guys like Max Fried and Gerrit Cole acclimated to him, because we all know how fickle both of those two guys are, especially Gerrit Cole, if he doesn't like throwing to somebody. So you can't give both of them a personal catcher, but maybe the start that Wells gets every week is with Cole, or maybe it's with Fried. You know, we don't know. We'll see, maybe one or the other. But right now, you cannot play Austin Wells behind the dish anymore. And one of the biggest issues that the Yankees are facing right now is, you know, offensively, that they're not scoring enough runs. And as much as I love the guy, and as much as I'm glad that he re-signed here, Cody Bellinger is probably culprit number one right now for why the Yankees are not scoring enough runs. I mean, if you look at Cody Bellinger here, the guy over his last 30 games is hitting .218 with a .601 OPS. Now, over his last seven, it's been much better, .348 with an .879. So those are much more Cody Bellinger-like numbers. But really, what concerns me the most, the guy hasn't had a home run in like 30 games. So whereas you felt pretty confident going into the season, Cody would be around 30 and 100, he might not even hit 20 home runs this year. So while over his last seven, obviously the average is up, the OPS is up from, I think he got a couple doubles here. Where are the home runs? Where's the power? Especially at home. Cody Bellinger's swing is tailor-made for the porch. And he's not even running into him at Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, if Cody's going to continue to stay high and hit around 300 and have the OPS well over 800, then maybe the offense will start clicking a little bit here. But the power's got to come. We need a Cody Bellinger in the middle of the lineup that's a home run threat. A guy that we saw last year that was a legitimate 30 home run bat in the middle of this lineup. And he's not that right now. So that's a problem. I think everybody has kind of had their turn doing some things here to help the Yankees win games in the absence of Aaron Judge, except for Cody Bellinger offensively. Now, the one thing about Cody Bellinger defensively, that doesn't slump. He's legitimately the best left fielder in Major League Baseball. I don't think there's any denying that. He's that good. And we saw it again yesterday that he really set the tone for Max Fried's start by throwing the runner out at second base to lead off the game. He makes play after play out there. You never worry about the ball getting hit to Cody Bellinger, legitimately the best left fielder in all of baseball. But he has to hit and hit for power. He's getting paid like the second superstar on this team. And the second superstar on the New York Yankees can't have 11 home runs on July 23rd with a 764 OPS. He's got to be better. And this is coming from somebody that used their platform probably more than anybody to talk about and wanting Cody Bellinger to come back in the offseason. He's got to be better. Because Ben Rice has been better. The guy has proven to everybody that he's a legitimate MVP candidate. He's got 30 home runs now. You'd be disappointed if he didn't hit 40 at this point in the season. Ben Rice is for real. You get Cody to go along with that, and when Trent sprinkles in whatever he sprinkles in, then you need another bat in this lineup, and then hopefully Lombard, and then you can see the pieces start to come together because this pitching can be special for the Yankees. And finally, on Wednesday, we witnessed something that we've been waiting to happen for the New York Yankees since Max Fried signed with the Yankees back in the winter of 2025. The New York Yankees finally yesterday had Max Fried and Gerrit Cole healthy in the same rotation. This is what Yankee fans have been dreaming about since Max Fried signed with the Yankees after they lost out on Juan Soto. This is exactly what the Yankee fan had been dreaming about, having two legitimate aces at the top of the rotation. But here is where the wrinkle came into the plan. Neither one of them are the ace of the New York Yankees. The ace of the New York Yankees is Cam Schlittler. You developed a homegrown ace while waiting for Max Fried and Gerrit Cole to be healthy at the same time. And with the rainout on Tuesday, you had Cole and Fried pitch back-to-back. And then with the day off, Schlittler pitching Friday. So now you're rolling out Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Cam Schlittler all in a row. You don't need a lot of runs to score. You just need some. That's why Brian Cashman's biggest need at the trade deadline is going to have to be acquiring bats. You cannot waste the opportunity that the New York Yankees have at hand by rolling out Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, and Cam Schlittler in a row. This is something that the Yankee fan has been dreaming about for a year now since Cam Schlittler burst upon the scene. Gerrit Cole wasn't healthy last year. Then Gerrit Cole got healthy and Max Fried was hurt. Well, they're all here now. Do not waste this. 36 of the final 60 games the Yankees are going to play are going to be started by those three guys. Do not squander that. You have to go and acquire bats. And good luck if the Yankees are in a position to host a postseason series and you can roll those guys out any which way you want to. Because there's no wrong answer. There really isn't. If the Yankees win the division and they get to set up their pitching, I think you'll put Max Fried in the middle to break up the two righties. But you want to give it to Cam Schlittler because he deserves it this year. It is going to be the Cy Young front runner. No problem with that. You want to give it to Gerrit Cole because of the elder statesman, and we know how the Yankees like to reward their veterans, especially ones that are performing really well. No problem with that, because either your season's on the line, you're looking to close out, or it's a big swing game with a guy that's got balls the size of grapefruits in Cam Schlittler. You can't go wrong. That's why you cannot piss this opportunity away. You have to make sure you have enough offense to capitalize on this. And you got to give a lot of credit to Max Fried yesterday, because the Yankees were up against it, against the Pirates in game two of this doubleheader that they played yesterday, because they went for it in game one, and they needed to go for it in game one. Absolutely. After Ben Rice hits the home run to tie the game, you go to your top level relievers and you try to win that baseball game. Gerrit Cole gives you seven really good innings. Ben Rice ties the game, washes it away, and then you go to Hedrick, you go to Bednar, we're tied going into the 10th. You have to do it. You chase that win. That's the one in front of you. You chase it. Absolutely. No problem with how Aaron Boone handled it. Then you go into the 10th inning, and I guess Aaron Boone just did not learn his lesson from Boston in the 10th inning when Fernando Cruz is on the mound. And you desperately need a double play with a left-hander up, and you got Tim Hill sitting on his hands in the bullpen. I guess he didn't learn his lesson from that, because you left Fernando Cruz in the game, two runs score, Yankees lose. When Ben Rice hits that home run to tie the game in the seventh inning, that becomes a must-win game for the Yankees, because you're using your A relievers. They don't win. So what happens? Well, you got Max Fried on a pitch count there. You knew Max Fried wasn't going past 65 pitches yesterday. And Max Fried understood the assignment that he needed to be not only good, but economical in it. And I think he finished with somewhere around like 57 pitches yesterday. What did he finish with? Why are you telling me what the Pirates did? I don't care. He finished with 57 pitches, exactly. So after the fifth inning, Boone said that was enough. I thought maybe they would bring him out for one more to just get him up to the 65, but I guess maybe it was the extra up-down, you know, how they're very cognizant of that. But he did his job. He gave the Yankees five shutout innings. You couldn't have asked for anything more out of Max Fried than what you got yesterday. He understood what he needed to do. That's why he's an ace. And he went in there, he told the story in the post game. He went in there joking, like, hey, who's going to pitch game two? And they were like, well, why don't you do it? And he's like, yeah, let's go. How do you not love that? Trevihi came in, gave the Yankees a scoreless inning. The guy's pitching to an 0.79 ERA. Maybe this is one of those diamonds, another diamond in the rough that Cashman has found for this bullpen. I want to see more of him. He's definitely earned it. Paul Blackburn comes in there, and my God, dude, you have to give all the love in the world to Paul Blackburn right now. People were screaming about him, even holding a roster spot earlier in the year. Right now, Paul Blackburn is pitching to a 2 ERA. He's throwing a lot of big innings, a lot of high-leverage innings. I think something like 15 out of 16 outings scoreless, something like that. And the one that wasn't was when he opened in Tampa and he gave up the home run to Caminero. So for his role, it almost doesn't even count. This guy's been great. And I said this when they re-signed him. Look at what Paul Blackburn did after he got bombed in his first outing with the Yankees against Boston. He was really good. I know low leverage, but the Yankees were working on something. A lot of scoreless outings there. Didn't give up a lot of runs. Maybe they feel like they found something like they found with Luke Weaver. And so far this year, it's turning out to be that way. And every day we move forward in the calendar here is another day that Paul Blackburn gets deeper and deeper into the circle of trust for Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees. And then here is the telling part. Who's going to close the game? You have a healthy and rested Camilo Duvall out in this bullpen. And Aaron Boone's answer was to go to Will Warren. If you have a healthy and rested Camilo Duvall in your bullpen in the ninth inning when you've exhausted all other options, and you go to Will Warren, there is exactly zero reason to keep Camilo Duvall on this team. Now, you know, I post that on social media. People are like, oh, they're going to trade him. What are you getting for him? The Yankees gave up four players for him last year. I know it was a quantity over quality type trade, but they gave up four players for him. Would you even get a McChicken for him right now? Hold the mayo? Actually, as much as I'm not the biggest mayo guy, and especially the way they glop it on, if you get a McChicken, you got to get the mayo. It's the way the mayo swirls in with like the spices on the bread. Every once in a while, I'm not saying I eat McChickens every day, but every once in a while, you know, you can grab a McChicken. It's not going to kill you. But that's where we're at with Camilo Duvall. Aaron Boone would rather try Will Warren to close a 2-0 ball game than bring in Camilo Duvall, who was brought here a year ago for situations exactly like that. There's no reason to keep him around. Now, I really, really wanted it for Will Warren last night. You guys know I really like Will Warren. I really wanted that for him last night. I wanted that save for Will Warren so bad. He got the first two outs. And he just, or he couldn't. He was up 0-2. He was just a little too geeked up. And he ends up walking, I think it was Ozuna. And then we had to bring in Timmy Hill. Or it was Valdez. And then, is that who it was? I feel like it was Ozuna, but I thought he got O'Hearn to end the game. It had to be Valdez then. And we had to go to Timmy Hill, and things got a little too close for comfort there. Routine ground ball that Jazz Chisholm made into an adventure there. And he's lucky, and the Yankees are lucky, that that call was made on the field as an out. There wasn't enough to overturn either way. It was safe. It would have stayed safe. It was out. It stayed out. And people telling me, oh, you know, got stuck in his glove. Go back and watch the play and see how he attacked or didn't the play. When you half-ass things happen. It's the final out of the game. It's a game you desperately need to win. You put this game together with Band-Aids and string, and somehow you got to the end here needing one out to win the baseball game. Make the play. Huh? Can we? This is the thing that kills you about Jazz. All the talent in the world. And sometimes the head floats up into the clouds. We saw it on Sunday. Big home run. And that home run pissed me off. It really did. And you want to know why? Because he said after the game, he was able to hit the home run because he wasn't looking to pull the ball. If I had enough hair to pull out of my head, I would right now. What have I been saying forever about Jazz Chisholm? He knows it too. He knows it. But on Monday, he pulls two home runs. Yankees desperately needed that because this team cannot score runs. They put up a four spot in the first inning. Ryan Weathers is like, here, take three. And then an inning later, he's like, here, take the lead completely. In that home run that put the Yankees back up for good. I mean, they needed it. Absolutely needed it. That's the player Jazz Chisholm can be. So, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about here if you're a Yankee fan right now. I know the offense stinks. It does. I'm not saying it doesn't. But you only need to score like three runs a game. That's how good, no, great, this pitching is. If the Yankees can find a way to score three runs a game, they're going to win a lot of baseball games down the stretch here with a healthy Cole Fried and Cam Schlittler and the bullpen performing the way it has. And knowing that Brian Cashman is probably going to bring in another arm to help out the bullpen. So you thought the bullpen was a weak point, and now you got Bednar, Hedrick, Paul Blackburn, Savihi, Cruz in a fire extinguisher situation, which why at the beginning of the inning, I didn't have a major problem with it because you kind of want the splitter to perform the way it does or should to keep the runner at second. But you got to get it down. You can't be letting guys hit fly balls, which is what happened. Runner got the third. You kind of figured that that run was scoring no matter what at that point. Two end up scoring, so it happens. And then Katie Sharp posted that I think he's pitched four times in the extra innings so far this year, and he's been dreadful every time. So, you know, Aaron, you know, for a team that loves to look at numbers, like, I don't understand what they don't look at it with that. So maybe we don't see Cruz again in the 10th inning anymore. But you got, you know, I still think Tim Hill in spots is good. Lefties looking for ground balls. That's a Timmy Hill lane right there. And then you go get somebody else. Dream for Mason Miller or maybe another guy in that bullpen. And San Diego's got a couple guys out there that you can put in front of Bednar, more setup type guys. So we'll see. But you have a good bullpen. You have really great starting pitching. And when Rodon gets back, you can even improve the bullpen a little bit more because Ryan Weather's strikeout percentage is amazing. It was 29%, something like that. So you put a guy like that with the strikeout stuff that he has in the bullpen where he doesn't have to worry about giving you five or six innings and you just max out for an inning. You just have to find a way to score runs. That's why, if you ask me right now, would I love to get Mason Miller? 100%, who wouldn't? But knowing that the trade packages are probably going to have to be similar, and Brian Cashman, in this hypothetical world, the Yankees are like, you could trade him to the Pod, you could trade these guys to the Padres, but you won't have enough to trade him to the Rockies, vice versa. What would you do? I'm not even considering it. Not even having this debate in my mind. I'm going to get Hunter Goodman. They need to score runs. Run prevention in terms of pitching is not going to hold the Yankees back. It's being able to score enough runs to support that pitching that will hold the Yankees back. So Yankees did a good job here over the last four games here. They squeaked one away from the Dodgers to avoid a sweep on Sunday night. Took two out of three from an up-and-coming Pittsburgh team. Now it's Chicago City here for the Yankees. Literally after Philadelphia, they got a three-team road trip, but only two cities. Then on Friday, they head to Philadelphia for three, and then Monday, it's the White Sox for four, and then the Cubbies for three before they return home. And there's no off day in there, so the Yankees are playing 13 in a row here because they play 10 on the road, come home for three before they get an off day. But we'll look at the pitching matchups here. It's tomorrow night, Will Warren against Luzardo. That game's on Apple TV, so I'm sure a lot of complaining will be going on social media there, 6:45. Then another 6:05 start. This one will be carried on, yes, Schlittler versus TBD. So I misspoke here. Schlittler's pitching Saturday now? I thought they said they were backing him up. They were backing Warren up. That's what I thought Boone said last night. And now they're listing Schlittler for Saturday. So I don't know. I could have sworn that's what Boone said yesterday, but they're listing Schlittler for Saturday. And then Sunday Night Baseball, the Yankees will be there again on NBC. Weathers against Christopher Sanchez. So I don't think Christopher Sanchez is going to be a fun time for the Yankees. So they might want to focus in on winning those first two games. And then seven in Chicago, four against the White Sox, three against the Cubbies. And then we'll be back here on August 2nd at some point. Might not be directly after the game. I might wait until a little later in the evening to see if any trades go through because you guys know we usually get caught with our pants down here. We record and then a whole bunch of news breaks happen with Keel, happen with Volpe. We'll see what happens here. But yes, the what do you call it? The Lombard Watch No, Lombard was put in the game tonight as a pinch runner, but the Lombard watch is going to be on here. Not if, but when he will be called up, when the Yankees are going to make trades, and just keep dreaming about that starting pitching. It's finally all together. Cole, Fried, Schlitler, and sooner than later, we'll also see Mr. Carlos Rodon, and that is what the Yankees have been paying a lot of money for, to finally get these guys all in the rotation together. And we're just waiting on one more here. But right now, Cole, Fried, and Schlitler, good luck. Yeah, good luck to us, because if we can't score to support it, it's not going to mean a lot. But as we say all the time, this is the final season of NYYST. This was a pop-up episode. We weren't planning on it. I got six more on the calendar here, plus whatever happens in the postseason and in our end of year stuff, and that's it. So if you don't want to miss anything, click subscribe on the very podcast platform you're listening to me on right now, so you don't miss any new shows throughout the final season of NYYST. And please leave us a five-star rating and review. We'd love to hear from you guys here in the final season of NYYST. Make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. We are supposed to be back after the White Sox series live again, maybe. Two out of the last three times stuff has gotten in the way. But, you know, we're still plugging away over there, so subscribe there. And please tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show. We love you. Thank you. This has been episode 538, and I'll see you next time.